Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam. We're in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha, Tes Vav, Chapter 13, Law 15, which puts us in the Maznaim text at the bottom of page 234 and 235. We've been talking about throwing things from one reshus to another, and in general, throwing is a tolada of carrying, and you'd be chayiv if you did the typical throwing. We discussed if you throw and then they grab it before it comes down and things like that, or it didn't go exactly the way you planned. We talked about throwing something with a little rope attached to the end. Now we're on Halacha Tes Vav. Fairly simple case here. Hazayrek, you threw the item, and it went the required 4 amas. V'nocha besoch yoda shel chavero. And it ended up, you threw it, and ended up in the hand of another guy who's standing in the Rishus HaRabim or the other Rishus or whatever. So what's the halach? Im amad chaveiro bim komo, if the fellow just stood in this place, he didn't move around, and his hand was just like this, he didn't like reach out, like he just kept his hand normal. V'kibla, and he received what you threw, and it went right into his hands. Hazoyrek chayiv, the guy who throws is chayiv. Right? And even if the guy didn't plan that it should have landed in his hand exactly, or maybe just near him, but at the end of the day, you threw it, it ended up exactly where you tossed it, ended it up, right? Because your hands throw, you may have intended maybe a little lower, a little higher, but it went that direction. It went right into that guy's hands. You're chayiv. Because why? Because we already said the hand of a person is considered like a 4x4. So definitely you uprooted it by throwing it, and it's landed because it landed in a hand. So that's a fairly simplistic halacha. The chiddush is, even though it's not landing on the ground, you're still chayiv for that. Fine. And that's what he says. Sharei okar reiniyah, because the guy picked it up and caused it to settle down in the guy's hands. Clear. But v'im neker chaveiro mim koma, but what if the friend jumped out from his place, v'kiblon then received it, then you'd be potter. The guy who threw it would be potter, because he only picked it up, but the second guy is the one who ultimately put it down. Okay. What? In other words, to catch it, he had to go from his place. Now, so then what do we say? The guy's putter, because the first guy only threw it, and the second guy only placed it, so nobody's chayiv. Okay, that's all easy so far. So, here's our interesting. So now that we set these two cases up to come, now the point of the first two cases for the third case. That's the real point of this halacha. Again, first case is I throw it and it lands somewhere in a guy's hand and I did all the work, I'm chayiv. If I throw it, it ends up in another guy's hand because he jumped out of the way to get it, I'm potter. So now let's see if we can synthesize the two cases in a unique way. What if Zarak, the guy throws it. There's no other guy on the other side. But what happens? V'rotz hazoyrek atzmo. The guy who threw it runs very fast. Acharachefetz, after the object he threw it. So like a really big sprinter over here, okay? V'kiblu biyodo b'rishus acheres. And he catches it himself in another rishus. So maybe it's an arc kind of throw, you know? He lobs it, azoy, and makes the leap to catch it. Okay? What is the halacha? Now the Gemara asks the Shaila, the Gemara in Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan asks the Shaila this precise question. He says, a guy threw it, and now it gets moved from its place. Now, let's even, you know, in other words, he ran out of his place to get it. So what were the first two cases? The first case is, if he threw it and this other guy just standing here in his hands like this, it goes in, boom. Well, you did everything, man, right? The second case, you threw it, and the other guy had to reach to get it, because he wasn't there, right? And he had to go to pull it. Well, then the other guy made the putting down, right? So now this case effectively is what? The one guy, it's the split personality here. The one guy, when he threw it, so he threw it, and it should have ended in a certain place. If he wouldn't have moved, what would have happened? Let's say he threw it and he would have done nothing. What would have happened? It would have fell to the ground and he'd be chayiv. Yeah. Because it would have ended where he put it. But now what did he do? He becomes like a second guy, so to speak. And now he goes and runs and leaps and snatches it out of the air, and you know, and it doesn't end up where the original throw would have had it go, right? Because now he's like the guy in the second case. He's split himself into two, as it were. So the Gemara is wondering, the shy of the Gemara is, when we say a person is discharging two different energies, you know, within one person, is he like one person or is he like two people? In other words, one person throws and lets it go. On the other hand, he's acting like two people, mamish. It's not, if he's one guy, just throw it and leave it. But the fact he's jumping and leaping, and it's like he really had to go out of his way. So he's creating a whole secondary new koach, a new power, in order to put it in a different place than where the first power would have done. So do we separate the different energies? It's like really conflicting energies within one person. Or we say, listen, forget it. It's one guy, it's one guy, it's one guy. Stop with all the lumdus over here. The one guy did the other, and the same guy put it down. So do we go with what the reality of it's one person? Or do we structure, do we differentiate conflicting powers and forces within one person as two conflicting powers? And how does the Gemara resolve? The Gemara does not resolve the issue. And therefore, in all those cases, it's a teiku, your favorite. And what does the Rambam always do with teikus? He says, potter, when in doubt, leave it out to make you chayev. And that's why the Rambam says halacha is potter. Not definitively, but out of the fact that the Gemara didn't resolve it, so the Rambam isn't going to resolve it either. And to make a guy chayev, we're not going to make a guy bring a korban for that, because we don't know if he has to bring a korban. That is the halacha. Let me just finish the point. So it's ke'ilu. How does Rambam, he's basing the potter by going according to the lenient side, which maintains, ke'ilu nekar achar. It's like somebody else pulled it, v'kiblu, and received it. She'ein ha'anocha gemura. You can't say it's a complete placement. Until it rests, the item rests in the place where it should have rest based on the way it was uprooted to begin with. In other words, normally I throw it, I take it, I throw it. There's a trajectory coming from my throw. And even though, remember, throwing is a tolada of caring, because the classical case is I have it, and I took it, and I moved it, and I stopped it. And it's all in my hand. This is a tolada. It's accomplishing the same. But I threw it, and my throwing, it's like I'm moving it the whole time, and it ends where my throw would have had the throw go, landing on the ground. And that would be the classical case. But now that I'm doing a whole manipulation here, so what I'm doing is not letting the initial throw be what's putting it down. And therefore, the Rambam says to be meikel and to say putter. There was a question? Yeah.
What if you?
Isn't that a fascinating case? That's a great case. Yeah.
What if you're standing and you throw it straight up in the air, really high, and it comes down 4 amot away, and you carry it, and you catch it? You're throwing straight up in the air.
How can it be 4 amot away and you catch it? You have to move.
You have to move.
That's 8 feet.
Okay, no, I'm saying you're not going a football field away. It's coming practically in the same
but
place.
But this is where you. It's not 8 feet. Is not the same place, my
no,
friend.
No, no, no. I'm saying would this qualify? Would this?
Is this what he planned? Did he plan on it landing exactly in that place?
Well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, the classic case is where he's throwing it this way.
I know, I'm talking about.
And he's certainly not allowed. But if you just lobbed it, you know, and you're doing that, you know, then that would probably be, probably chayv, because there's not any unique counter koach involved over here. Mm-hmm. I could hear that maybe you'd be chayv in that case. Mm-hmm. Here, you're clearly acting as two different
that's
people.
I mean. Okay.
So there'd
but,
be room
but
to be lenient.
Your intent from the beginning is to run and catch it. So you are the intended receiver, so to speak. So you really are.
Yeah, but still, so that's the other side of the coin. That is the other side of the coin. You can clearly see there's two sides to this coin.
Right.
They're saying my throw is not really ending the way my throw started. Even if I intended to do differently, so I always intended that the throw wouldn't be the throw that where it would end.
But you would, if you intended to go and catch it.
That's fine, but
then your intention was wherever you're going to catch it would have been.
No, but that's not. But that is that catching contradicts the original trajectory of the original throw. The original throw would have it land in spot B, and my catching is not letting it get to part B, even though my intent is.
But
it's going against what my throw did. That's the whole point. My throw is one thing, and my catch is going counter to that.
One more shot. Like, you want to catch it, so you throw it really high so you can run over there and catch it. So you intend it to throw it high.
So I would say like this. If you're throwing it in kind of an arc, and you're like the wide receiver coming under it to receive it, you know, then that maybe looms to say chayiv. But here we're kind of saying the case is where you've thrown it, and you, as it's going, you're catching, and it's not ending in the intended place. That's the point.
I'd like to see him catch it.
That's the
case. That'd be pretty good.
It's a theoretical case. The guy who stole home, you know. Okay. You got to run pretty fast. But, you know, you could give it a good throw and with an arc, but still you can catch it before it lands where the arc is.
It could be a frisbee where it's like glide.
Go figure it out, man.
Something a little bit practical. Let's say in your show you need a box of Kleenex and it's way down at the other end of the table. Can someone actually take that box and push it down here or throw it down here?
Okay, well, you're in the shul, you're inside. It's not a problem. You have to be an outside shul. If it's on the table, it really... I don't think it really left any place because it's one long table. I don't think if you've really done anything, it's still on that table. This whole table is one place.
Okay.
It's one rishus. The table itself is a rishus. So you're keeping it on the same rishus. Okay, let us continue. This was the easy one. Okay, I thought this one would be 2 minutes. And they get harder. It gets a little difficult the next couple of halachas, but Mr. Shem will get to it. Okay, now we're going to have a new concept here. Let's say you throw something. What do we know is Asr? Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. Four Amos and Rishus HaRabim. Right? How about I throw from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid?
Has to go through the...
No, let's say we have two. Let's say Shelly's house and his backyard neighbor. It's one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid.
They're two different, they're two different domains.
But did I take it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim?
No. But it's from one Rishus to another Rishus.
We only said Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. The only problem Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, those both Rishus HaYachid. Those are private domains. The only problem would be we need to make an Eruv of Chatzeros. But once you get around that problem, it's one private domain. So there's no reason to be chayiv there. That would not be chayiv. The problem now is, what if I walked from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim with an object, carrying an object, and then I keep walking into another Rishus HaYochid? Then what would happen?
Then you're chayiv twice.
Chayiv twice if I stopped somewhere in the middle.
If I
stopped somewhere in the middle. What if I didn't stop?
No, then you're
a plotter. Let's think for a minute. I pick it up. I have Rishus HaYochid. I go out of my front door. I go through the street. And now I go into another guy's door. And I did not stop once in Rishus HaYochid.
So
Rishus HaRabim.
You're the person's plotter. We learned this.
All
right.
So, no, why are you chayiv?
Well, did you stop anywhere in Rishus HaRabim?
Yeah, the item didn't come to a stop.
Right. So it's not so partial. You know, there's very good reason to say you'd be potter under certain circumstances. Now, that's not our case, but I'm just building up to the case now. Forget about that. We're not with an Erev right now. Erev Chatzeros, that's a different one. That's a different thing. Even if you're in an apartment building, you can't carry from one apartment to another because other people have permission to use whatever. Let's not go there right now. But now the case is as follows. Now that I've set you up a little bit, Hazorek Mirshus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. You throw an object from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. U Rishus HaRabim Be'emtza. And there's Rishus HaRabim in the middle. And I draw your attention to the picture on the bottom of page 236. Where you see A is the private domain, B is the public domain, and C is the private domain. Okay? So, what is, and that's in the middle.
It's not analogous to just carrying it.
So we will see. So aval pisha over achefes ba'avir rishus harabim. Even though the object went through the heir, Lashus Harabim, the guy is Potter. The guy is Potter.
Because how high above the branches?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. But we'll just assume high right now. Okay. We'll say within 10 tvachim. If it's above 10 tvachim, according to many opinions, remember, it's already not in Rishus Rabim at all. So let's say it's below 10 tvachim, for starters, right? But now the Rambam qualifies as for who, but the only potter if it's shiyavor lamala mishlosha tvachim. If it goes higher, if it's higher than 3 tvachim, what's the problem with lower than 3 tvachim? We have the problem of levud.
Right?
Levud means anything within 3 tvachim of the ground is considered on the ground. So once it's 3 tvachim below the ground, it could be a problem. And now the Rambam is going to go further. Avolim ovar bepochas mishlosha. But what if when you pass by, it was under 3, which is now getting into levud territory. Samach lor, it's near to earth, but now we need a little bit more. V'noch al gabe mashehu, and it rests on something within the 3. There's a big argument what that means exactly. Afal pisha nekar onis galgal, even though it moves on and rolls further. In other words, let's say you throw it, and there's a little thing sticking out of the ground, lower than 3 tvachim, and kind of hits that thing and skips off on into the next rishus. Something like that. Or Rashi even says, let's say you threw it and it got very windy, really windy, and kind of just stopped the item. And then the wind, like a circular wind, you know, it stopped it for a minute, and then the wind just blew a little further, right? But it kind of stopped or hit something, right? But within 3 amas, 3 tvach of the ground. But it ended up in Rishus HaYochid. The final stop was Rishus HaYochid. Harehu, what is it like? It's like a person stopped and stood in Shurabim. Ulafika chayev, and therefore you're chayev. Matter of fact, you'd be chayev twice.
Twice, yeah.
Right? Chayev twice. Well, at least once. You threw it once.
It was just one action.
You picked it up, and it ended up here as one. Right?
And then it kept
going. And then it went from there. Okay, maybe the second one would be questionable because
only
maybe
one action.
Right, but you're for sure chayev for the landing in the Rishus HaRabim. That's for sure one. We'll leave it at that. Right? So that way you're only chayev if we catch you in the Rishus HaYochid, HaRabim somewhere. In other words, in other words, what he's saying clearly though, if you throw it, and it goes through and it's above 3 tvachim, it sails right through, no problem. Because there's no picking up in one Rishus and putting down in another Rishus that's an opposite Rishus. I picked up in Rishus HaYochid, it went down in Rishus HaYochid. That's not Aser. And as long as it doesn't get caught in Rishus HaRabim, then I'm okay. So if it's lower than 3 Tvachim, then if it hits something, even though it doesn't hit the ground, either it hits something under 3 Tvachim and then bounces out, or the wind holds it, and it's like for a moment it's not moving under 3 Tvachim and then moves on. If it's moving under 3 tvachim, then we're not going to say Rechai. Because it's moving. It's not low.
So it has to meet both the conditions of below 3 tvachim and coming to some sort of
Kind of a stop. Exactly. Then you'd be Rechai. Otherwise, but straight through, you know, listen, Lechachili, you shouldn't do it, obviously. But Bidiyevid, we're saying Potter Bidiyevid. You know, you shouldn't do this. Let me just finish that locha. Now we're going to do the reverse. Vim over hacheife, what do you throw from a public domain? From a public domain, but from one, the amount of one public domain, the other amount is less than 4 tvachim. Let's say I'm right at the edge of one public domain, and now it goes 100 yards through a private domain, and ends 1 foot into the next public domain. So what have I done? I've carried from one public domain to another, but in none of the public domains even combined, I have 4 amas. Rishus HaYochid, nothing's happened there. So in other words, we're just reversing the case and saying that's the same halacha. That's what he's saying. Rishus HaYochid, potter, you're potter, and the same thing. What if it passes below 3 tvachim, close to the earth? And it rests on something temporarily, even though it returns and rolls on, or bounces off. It's like it remains in Rishus HaYochid for a little bit of time, and be chayav for that. So it works both directions. Yes? Not restriction. The higher you go, the better it is. Like if you're over, if you're 10 tefachim over, 10 tefachim, it's another rishus. It's not rishus harabim anymore. So then you're even in better shape. Okay.
Is that a problem if you start a rishus harabim and throw it up above? Is that a, you said it's a different rishus.
Yeah, but then when it comes back in, we continue the rishus. So.
But it's been in another rishus for a period of time.
It's a makom patur. It's a non negative rishus, okay, as it were. So we will learn. We'll come to other programs. They'll tell us what something's called a makom patur. It's like what do you call it in tag? The neutral zone. It's a neutral zone. It's not a harmful zone.
It would come to a stop in that
non
harmful zone.
Well, we'll discuss that. Let's just leave that. That's another discussion we're not ready for right now. But that's a way to get out of a situation. We will learn that if you're stuck and you're in a potentially harmful situation where you're ever going to put it, you're going to be in trouble. We look for this call, this neutral zone, and that gets you out of trouble. But you can't, 10 tefachim above the air is not because we can permanently keep something, usually, unless there's something around. So then, 10 tefachim, a meter, I think a fire hydrant is higher than tefachim. That becomes one of your favorite makom patours. So we'll talk about that at another time. Or a stop sign. You can balance it on top of a stop. We'll talk. We're not up to there yet. We're not up to there. Let's not go there. Okay.
We talked about what happens if you roll an item and it doesn't come to a stop. You roll it through the rishus.
So I think we said that's like carrying it.
Yeah. It's different than flipping it.
Yeah, because it's on the ground.
What I'm saying is it doesn't come to a stop in the rishus. It's rolling continuously rather than.
But it's like carrying it.
It'd be like running though, wouldn't it?
Again, you need a stop somewhere, but it will, when it finally rolls, it comes to a stop. So you're right. So you're saying, what if I rolled it right through a rishus from a rishus and it rolls on? You could very well be putter.
I mean, you have to be careful it doesn't bounce off something and that's like a stop.
Right. Okay, good. I think that really that would work. Okay, now Yud Zayin is the same thing, just with one little modification. Same concepts here. Yud Zayin. And now, Hamavir Arba Amish Rabbi. Let's say he carries, and we'll see, it doesn't necessarily mean carry, it could be throwing as well. There's a reason why the Rambam picked carrying, we don't have to get into it, but it would work the same with throwing. You throw up Farmas Brishus Harabim Zu, Im Rishus Harabim Mishniyah, together with another Rishus Harabim. Now I'll go to the picture on page 238. Now, what's going on over here? A is the public domain. Okay? Now you look, area B is two Amish at the end of the public domain. So when you throw it out of the first public domain, it's gone two amas in the first public domain, right? Now it's going through C, which is the private domain. Now it goes through B, that's another two amas, and ends in A, which is the other public domain. So now, between both public domains, has it gone four amas? Yes.
Yes.
It's gone two amas in A, and two amas in the left A, and two amas in the right A, right? The case I said before, remember I was very particular when I mentioned the case for Rishus HaRabim before, I said, it's only like a foot from one Rishus HaRabim, and it's a foot. I was particular about that. Why? Because that's not this case. This case is, I've got two amas in one Rishus HaRabim, two amas in another Rishus HaRabim, so now between the two Rishus HaRabims, I have four amas. So now, that's what he's saying. Again, hamavir, if you carry or throw, Arba Amish Rizarabim, four Amish in a public domain, meaning Zu, this one, Im Rishus Rabim, together with the other Rishus Rabim, it comes out to four Amish. Chayav, you are Chayav. Why? Because Arba Amish Rishtei Rishuyos Harabim meet Storfos. Because four Amish with two combined Rishus Rabims combine the two and two to make four. I might have thought, what are you talking about? I only carry two in this Rishus Rabim. Is there something wrong with this Rishus Rabim? And it only carried two in that Rishus HaRabim. Rambam is saying, no. We add it. And the adding. So, therefore, it comes up. From Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, you can carry unlimited. So it doesn't matter how far it traverses in Rishus HaYochid and then goes through to Rishus HaRabim and then goes into Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't matter. I went from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. I'm Potter. The case before Rishus HaRabim where I was potter is only because in the Rishus HaRabim combined, there wasn't a traveling of four amas. Now the Rambam says, if you travel four amas between the two Rishus HaRabim, that's like carrying a Rishus HaRabim of four amas, and therefore you'll be chayav. Wow, it's so much easier now that I'm saying it to you guys. Okay? It's clear. I mean, it's clear, no? Mipnei shalom nocha chavis v'rishumim, because the item didn't stop in between. What would happen? Let's now ask you the following. What if it stops somehow below three tefachim in that Rishus HaYochid? It bounced off something, like the cases before. Then what would happen?
You carry it.
What? Well, or let's say you threw it. Okay, carrying it's not going to bounce. You're right, it's not going to bounce. But what if we threw it? Then you'd be chayef, right? So the commentators talk about it. Really, carrying and throwing is the same thing. Why he mentioned throwing, carrying was for a particular reason. We might have been more chayef because since he's carrying it slower. But that's not important. But it's the same. But the main chiddush is we combine the two rishus harabims that are one not next to the other. Okay, we can do one more Rambam. Okay, well, really, it's going to be two, but the second one is very fast. But that'll be perfect. Yud Ches and Yud Ches will be perfect. Okay, now we have the following. Hamoshit mirishus hayochid, rishus hayochid, rishus haram be'em tzachayiv. Now, what if you, moshit is I pass an article from another. I'm holding it, and I'm doing like this. Not throwing, not carrying, I'm passing. I'm passing, what am I doing? From one rishus to another rishus, with a rishus rabbim in the middle. Okay, I'm not carrying, I'm not throwing, I'm extending. What will be the better word
here?
Wait,
the person standing in the rishus
rabbim? I'm in rishus hayochid, and I take it, and I
just pass.
Place it into another rishus hayochid by going through rishus rabbim.
Oh, I see.
How do you like this? Chayev.
Chayev.
You're a chayev. Whoa, why is that? So, and he says, "Afilu hoshi l'mala me'afir rishus harabim." Even if you're higher than 10 tefachim above, more than 10 tefachim higher than rishus harabim, you're still going to be chayev. Why? So now this is a unique halacha. This is a unique halacha. Why? Because this is exactly what the malacha was in the Mishkan. Why? What was the malacha? Shekein hoisa avodas levim mishkan. This was the work of the levim exactly in the mishkan. When the boards had to be put on wagons, and you'll see the following page, 240, gives you a picture of that. The picture, 240, A's are two wagons, and the wagons are in Rishus HaRabim, and there's space of Rishus HaRabim in between the two wagons, you see? And now you're taking a board from wagon A on the right side, and you're pushing it and extending it out into the other one and putting another part through the Rishus HaRabim and ending it into the other Rishus HaYochid. The wagons are considered Rishus HaYochids. They're their own Rishus HaYochid within the Rishus HaRabim. Okay? It's its own little wagon. Inside a wagon, that's Rishus HaYochid. Inside, or surrounded by Rishus HaRabim. Now, if I would have thrown it from A to A, thrown it, we already know I'm potter, because that's what we learned in the last halachas. Isn't that what we learned before? But somehow by extending it, I'm chayav, right? Because that's exactly what the Levites did when they took the boards. They took the boards and put it from one wagon and extended it on into the other wagon. That's what they did. Moshitin esakroshim. They would extend the boards, me'agol alagol, from one wagon to the one wagon, Rishur Rabin Ben Shteagos, and there's Rishur Rabin in between. And every wagon, Rishus HaYochid is Rishus HaYochid. So it comes out of, let's say you have two cars, two pickup trucks, and I'm standing in one pickup truck, and I have a bunch of pots and pans, and I go extending myself over, and I put into the other pickup truck. You're chayev, because that's exactly what happened in the Mishkan. So now I can't fool around with this. This is precisely what happened in the Mishkan, so you're going to be chayev for that. Now, your test just gives us one caveat to that halacha. Now, it's interesting. When they did that, the wagons were always one wagon in front of a wagon going straight ahead in Rishus HaRabim. So technically, the boards were going forward in the Rishus HaRabim. In other words, you have one wagon. Here's Rishus HaRabim. You have a wagon here. They're going this way. And the board is put forward, as it were. That's the way it was done in the Mishkan. It wasn't one wagon here, one wagon here. We put it across the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and they're both going forward, take up a lot of space in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That wasn't the way it was done in the Mishkan. You with me? So therefore, the only way you're chayav is that the wagons are back to back and not side by side. You with me? You know, imagine on the 401, and you're going straight. So like one car would have to be in front of the other car. I extend from one car and put in another car, as opposed to two cars are side by side, going from one across to the other. And that's what he says. That's all Yutess is. But Mad Rami, when do we say this? Kishol Yushtei Rishuyas HaYochid, when the two private domains of the wagons, but Orech Rishuyas, are going with the length of the Rishuyas HaRabim, one in front of the other. Kamosha Golas, like the wagons in the Mishkan, Mahachas Rishuyas HaRabim, Zerachazuk, they went in Rishuyas HaRabim, one behind the other. But if the two private domains were on two sides of the Rosh Hashanah, side by side, then extending from one Rosh Hashanah to the other, you'd be potter, because that's not the way it's done in the Mishkan. Then we go back to the fallback position of otherwise, it's just Rosh Hashanah, that's not a problem. Only when it's exactly identical to the Mishkan, which is placing one in front of the other, with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's the only time you're chayav. Baruch Hashem, I think I went pretty good. Okay, Paul, if you could just stay, we could do a Kaddish. I'm sorry. Okay, Rabbi Chani ben Akash, Rabbi Kaddish, Baruch Hashem, so if you hear from Rosh Hashanah, Manech Vitzman, Tzidko, Yagdol Torah, V'yadir.